Good morning. We're working our way through the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter 12. If you didn't hear Chris's sermon last week on the spiritual gifts, and this is going to be part B today, I encourage you to go online and listen. It's a very encouraging area of scripture for us to consider. So we're going to begin in Romans 12. I'm going to back up, and we're going to read a few verses back and then pick up from there. So if you have your Bibles, bring up your translation. I'm in Romans 12. I'm actually going to start in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. When I entered as a student of Virginia Tech many, 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 many years ago, we were all together, the freshmen, and somebody was up front speaking, somebody from the administration. And apparently they did this every year. They said, turn and look at the person on your right, and look at the person on your left, and only one of the three of you will make it through this fine institution. Now, I don't suppose that was supposed to motivate us or to scare us or at least to sober us up a little bit for our freshman year. But we're going to do that this morning here. Now, when he did it as freshman, it was also an occasion to flirt. This is not an occasion to flirt. This is an occasion to look. But I want you to look at the person to the left of you. And you're seeing the back of a head now. look to the person to the right of you, or in front of you, or around. Let's just kind of look around. And only one of the three of you will make it to heaven. No, I'm sorry. Only the one of the three of you. I'm serious. In the church, you look at the people to your right and to your left. These are people you need. And they need you. The area we are in Scripture has to do with the spiritual gifts that God gives. Now, that's abilities by the Holy Spirit that God gives us to be a blessing to other people. And they're different gifts, diverse gifts. God is actually the author of this diverse creation. But sometimes diversity can become an excuse to separate and support your own rights. In the church, everybody has a place, and everybody has a different role to play. But we use those gifts to serve others, to build up others, to bring unity to God's community. If you've been reading through the Bible Challenge this past week, we read in Exodus 18 where Moses, after delivering nearly 3 million people out of Egypt through the Red Sea and into the wilderness, has a moment when his father-in-law, and sometimes father-in-laws give good advice, the father-in-law said, you've got to get some organization to this people, because Moses was spending most of his day hearing complaints and issues and trying to teach and do all these things together. And his father-in-law came up with an idea that helped organize that big body of believers. Well, God has done the same for the church. And organization and order is a blessing. If you were to come to my library and look at my desk, you'd say, you need some order, some organization. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that God gives different gifts and abilities to people. And so that's what we're reading here in this passage. So it's interesting that after many chapters of laying out the gospel and the doctrine of the gospel. When Paul starts to address spiritual life, Christian life, it's very quickly he moves to body life, to relationships. Now, he also wrote another letter about the same time to the church at Corinth. Corinth had a problem with divisiveness, actually over the spiritual gifts, because they were being proud of spiritual gifts or being ashamed of spiritual gifts. They were looking down on each other. But also in the church in Rome, we had people looking down on each other due to religious background, ethnic background, moral superiority. I come from a Jewish background family. I'm Torah observant. I follow the law. I look down on you dirty, unwashed Gentiles, and the Gentiles were looking at them as self-righteous. And so it was bad. So in both letters, Paul is encouraging people to realize how God has put the body together of every people from every different kind of background, every kind of gift, every kind of ability, but we're to operate as one. So that's what we're looking at here. And I'll just give you my main thesis here, and that is God has given us gifts as a church. God has given you gifts. God has given us gifts, different gifts. And they're meant to be used and used well. God gives us gifts. They're meant to be used, and they're meant to be used well. And I'm going to highlight that as we go through this. What is a spiritual gift? It's a supernatural ability, something that God the Holy Spirit gives to believers in order for them to be a blessing to others. It is not exactly the same thing as a natural talent. That's part of creation. God gives people abilities from their birth and later. These are gifts of the new creation, of the Holy Spirit, that may line up with natural talents, but not necessarily. So anybody that has a gift of public speaking is not necessarily called to be a preacher. Sometimes those things line up. Giving, you know, some people that may have the spiritual gift of giving may not necessarily be rich people in this world's goods. It's supernatural in effect. It does something. It shows God at work, these gifts, when they're operative, in their timeliness and in their suitability, so that any of these things that are sort of common, like teaching, giving, showing mercy, leadership, they're kind of common things. But when God gives that gift, people sense and feel that God is at work and empowers us and makes a difference in our lives. How do I know what my gift is? I assume that every Christian, and I think when you read 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, the implication is every Christian has a specific place and gift or gifts in order to be a blessing, to bring unity and growth in the body. How do you know what that is? Well, I think the best thing to do is just be involved in community, to be doing ministry, and people will tell you what you're good at. If you're a blessing to somebody, or if you ask somebody, what am I a blessing to you in what way? Maybe it is in the way you speak, or what you share, or the way you serve, or some of these other things. You can find them. I don't think it's very difficult. There online, you can take these little inventories and kind of you fill out some things, and it'll tell you what they think your spiritual gift is. I think the people around you probably, your own inclination and the people around you can probably tell you how God is using you in their lives. That's what you want to find out. Our attitude about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts used to be something of a Christian fad many years ago, and there were 10 million books on spiritual gifts, and then they're sort of not anymore. But it is an important topic. I was reminded in C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia, in the first book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's a scene in which the battle has kind of turned, the White Witch's power is broken, and Father Christmas shows up. Now, he's not like Santa Claus. He's a little more awesome. But he shows up, and he has gifts. He has gifts for people. And he gives Peter a sword and a shield just the right size and weight for him to use. Gives Susan a bow and quiver full of arrows and an ivory horn that always summons help. And Lucy, the youngest, gets a crystal bottle with like an ointment or cordial that would bring healing by a few drops to anyone who had been injured. And these gifts were to be used for the protection and blessing of others. They were in the midst of the battle and needed to be prepared to use their gifts. So it says, C.S. Lewis says of Peter that he was silent and solemn as he received these gifts, for he felt they were a very serious kind of present. A very serious kind of present. And Father Christmas says this. He says, these are your presents, and they are tools, not toys. The time to use them is near at hand. Bear them well. I think that's one of the things that as I look at this passage, that's what Paul is saying, is God has given you gifts. They're not toys. They're not to be taken lightly. These are abilities that you can use to help the body of Christ defend, protect, and build itself up in the midst, especially of the battle that it's fighting. So they're serious gifts. They're not something to be taken lightly. They're something to be used and to be used well. So here in this passage, we have seven gifts listed. There are all told between here, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans, this passage, Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, about 15 plus or minus gifts, and there could be many more. And they're different. They're meant to be used and to use in a certain way. I'm just going to walk through these seven and then make some kind of conclusions as we go. The very first one mentioned in verse 6 is prophecy in proportion to our faith. Now, prophecy generally is a term that can be used in a general and in a narrow sense. Generally, it means to speak for or about God. It can be used of worship, when people are praising God, when people are speaking from God, when people are sharing their testimony. It's to speak about God. It can be spirit-motivated praise and worship. And in some narrower senses, it can involve foretelling or forthtelling. In its special use in the Old Testament, it was the Old Testament prophets who gave authoritative revelation from God, declaring his words and will and promises. And in the New Testament, there were prophets along with the apostles who formed the foundation of the New Testament church. That's Ephesians 2. I believe that this specific role of prophecy was completed in the New Testament, early New Testament era with the apostles. I do, however, feel that there is a use of prophecy in the church today, which is mainly this. It is speaking either from God or for God a timely, needed word or an application of biblical truth which meets a need and builds up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Now, that can include a lot of things. That can include gifted preaching and teaching, people who speak the right thing at the right time, which meets a need and shows that God is working. It's not always a Bible verse, but it is, I believe, always a biblical truth. It's not a new truth, but it's a truth that God has revealed, but it's applied in a timely and remarkable way. I saw that just this morning when we were in communion and Lord's Supper. A brother shared about how Lord was dealing with him about being courageous, just to own the fact that he followed Christ and believed that Christ was the only way to God. And he was in a situation where a person was hostile toward him and asked him about that, and he spoke up and said, I did. And found a remarkable change in this person who had been struggling with this very issue, and enabled them. There was things that he didn't know about this person, and they were able to talk about the Lord, and it looked like a very, very remarkable situation. But then further, as other people are sharing in the Lord's Supper this morning, other people too, feeling that God is teaching them the importance of boldness and plain speaking and following Christ. So I don't know about you, but there have been many times, and that helps keep me going, that people sometimes just say just the right thing at the right time that makes the difference, that makes a change. And it can be through the gift of music. It can be just people speaking. Sometimes it's people saying something they're not even aware of, and you go, you know, the little bell goes off, and you go, that's what I needed to hear. That's what I've been praying about. So this shows us that God, the Holy Spirit, is applying biblical truth to us as a body. Now, when it talks about in proportion to faith, some people have felt that this has to do with how mature you are or how much faith you have. I do not believe that's what Paul is saying here. The phrase translated our faith, most literally translated, could be the faith. And I believe he's speaking of the content of our faith. That is what we believe. It's not talking about how much we believe we're saying the Word of God. It's that we are saying things that we know lines up with what God has already revealed. It becomes, as Tyndale in his translation many years ago, speaking that which is agreeing unto the faith. Or the Christian Holman Christian Standard, if prophecy, use it according to the standard of faith. And I believe that is the better translation in that situation. So what you're doing is, before you say something that you think might be an encouragement or help somebody, or something that somebody might need to hear, you need to run it through your biblical grid to make sure this is actually something that God is promoting and has said and has revealed. So that's number one. Then number two and three are in verse 7. Now you'll notice that it says, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. This is Paul's way of saying that the gifts need to be used. God didn't give us spiritual gifts to kind of polish them and just put them up on the shelf so people could come to our homes and say, oh, I see you have the gift. These are to be used. They're tools. They're not toys. They're not showpieces. They're to be used to build up the body. And so that's why I'm saying that what God is saying here is that we have gifts and we're meant to use them. Second, the second gift listed in verse 7, the gift of service, to serve. Perhaps this is the same thing as the gift of helps, to give support, aid, help, oftentimes practical, oftentimes behind the scenes. Sometimes I'll come to here to the church and think, well, we've got to set up to do something. Found out it's already been set up. Somebody took initiative to get things ready, to do things behind the scene. Sometimes these folks become deacons, which is very similar, the same word, a servant, to fix equipment, drive people where they need to go, make meals, make things work, meeting needs and so forth. All of these things. We could not run this place without that. Making the sound work, keeping the heat on. So many practical things that need to get done. That's the gift of serving. The gift of teaching, the third one, is also in verse 7. This is the gift, not just of teaching in general, but of teaching and explaining and applying biblical and sound doctrine to others in the church. Teaching the Bible, teaching truths. It's not always a pastor or elder, but people sometimes who are enabled to study, understand, communicate biblical truth. These are the people who enjoy seeing the light go on in people's minds as they learn Scripture. Sometimes they're leading house groups. Sometimes they're teaching Sunday school. But they have an ability to make God's Word clear to the people hearing. We move on to verse 8. We move on to the fourth gift he mentions, exhortation. This means to give encouragement, to comfort, to strengthen, to come alongside of somebody, to give them what they need to keep going. It's like a coach. Almost a spiritual gift of spiritual coaching where you know what somebody needs. Maybe they need a kind word. Maybe they need a hug. Maybe they need a nudge. Maybe they need a holy kick in the pants. But they give you what you need to keep going. And I tell you, I'm so thankful. When I look back on my life as a Christian walking with the Lord many, many years, any success that any of us have are really due to a whole lot of good people around us who knew how to kick us in the right place at the right time, who knew how to hug us at the right time. So that's the gift of exhortation. Now, the next three gifts, starting in 8, are also in 8, have not just teaching in their teaching or service in their serving, but they're qualified. The one who contributes or gives with generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is where Paul is telling to us, it's not just that you have a gift and you exercise it. Attitude matters. The Corinthian church had gifts all over the place, but they were very divisive, they're very proud, they're very up. And so how we use our gifts, the manner, is very, very important. So we need to use them well. We need to use them the right way, freely, joyfully, wholeheartedly, with a servant attitude. So these next three, look at that. So example, giving. contributing money or sharing resources. This is providing material for the church to grow and to prosper. And so the word with generosity, I think actually probably better translated sincerely, that is without mixed motives. People with a gift of giving give, but they don't give with strings attached, like I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. They're not stingy. They're free. And they want to see God's kingdom advance, and they have concern for people. They're giving ungrudgingly and without reservation. This church family is a wonderfully giving church, and many people here who give that way. And by the way, none of us elders knows who gives anything. We don't know. So it's really good that way, kind of keep it anonymous. The timeliness, again, becomes an issue. When my wife and our family, we lived in Dallas when I was in Dallas Seminary, and we were living on a shoestring. And at some point in time, a car didn't pass inspection because we needed 4 new tires. We just did not have the money. And so we prayed about it. We shopped around to find the best deal we could, and we still needed a certain amount. But we knew what we needed, and we prayed about it. And seriously, this happens. That, you know, like the next day or two, we go to the mailbox, and there's a check in the mail from somebody who had never supported us before, somebody who knew nothing of our situation. We hadn't told them anything. It was for the exact amount for the tires and enough to take our kids to a fast food meal. So we all praise God over our French fries, over our new tires. That's the gift of giving. I don't know what they knew when they gave that or what they thought, but it met a special need. And you can't tell me that's not from God. When that happens, that's from the Lord. So, and lastly, the gift of leading to leadership. Every church needs leaders, and it's to lead with eagerness or enthusiasm, diligence, devotion, being devoted. In leadership, and I serve with 9 other guys, it's a privilege to serve with them, but it is easy over time just become maintenance-minded, just kind of make the decisions, make the calls, do this and that, pray for the church, but not. And this past 18 months, we've had a couple of our elders giving us a holy kick in the pants. We've got to think about, you know, our transitions, the next couple of years, what each elder will be doing, and do we need to specialize? Do we need to bring staff on? And big questions like that, but looking at it for the health of the church. And so this is why we really want you to come to the Fireside Chat, because we're going to roll out some things, and you're probably going to say, I didn't know they were thinking about that. Well, anyway, but you're going to come. It's not going to be anything real, real surprising, but it will be exciting, I think. So you want to come. We need to hear from you about what you think about these things. The seventh gift is showing mercy, helping people who are hurt and need, doing that cheerfully, without reluctance, graciously, not being burdened about it. And my wife and I, going through hard times, we've had so many people show mercy, care for us, bring meals, just caring words at the right time. I have a good friend who was an elder of a church for many years, and we were just talking the other day, and he said back before there was caller ID, and he was an elder of a church, he said my phone would ring at 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, 1 in the morning. And he said, I had to struggle with attitude. He knew he was called to leadership. He knew he was called to show mercy. He knew, and he just said, as I'm reaching for that phone, he says, I'm praying, God, give me compassion for whoever's on the other end of that phone, and give me wisdom to help them with whatever problem they have. And he said that changed him. And so just as in praying that, just as he was reaching for the phone. So attitude does matter. God has given us these gifts. They're different gifts. We need to use them. They're not for the shelf. And we need to use them well with the right attitude, or else they won't actually produce the blessing that God is planning them for. So in conclusion, he's given us these gifts to be used well. And I can't think of any better words than Father Christmas's words. These are your presents. And they are tools, not toys. The time to use them is near at hand. Bear them well. Now, I want to close a little differently. I want to close with just a period of thankfulness and reflection, our brother John Fleming, who has a natural physical talent of photography, also I guess the spiritual gift of encouragement, put together about 10 minutes, 11 minutes. It's not going to seem long at all, but it was a presentation that we gave at the annual meeting this last year. And it was so good. We were so moved. We just said, we've got to show this to the congregation at large. And it's just a sort of a pictorial chronicle of many of the gifts that are operating at BCF. Now, not even all of them, because a lot of them aren't even seen. But we want to end with thankfulness, to be thankful, you know, to the people to the right, left of you, the people around you, the people in the nursery, the people in the Sunday school, the people in the office, the people that are doing all these things. So we're going to conclude with that. I'll come back and give us a closing prayer in just a minute. Can we see that, please? Very thankful for the body of Christ. He's given you a gift that you might go be a gift. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the spiritual gifts that you give us, that you've given the body, those who encourage and teach and speak the right word and show mercy and serve. Thank you, Lord, for so many here who serve behind the scenes in so many ministries, just a fraction of which we've just seen. Lord God, thank you for the beauty of your body, that this is your creation. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.